Hello everybody, this is English for You, and we have in the studio today Katie,
hi.
Rudy,
hello.
And Alex.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Fine. Fine. I have my Fosaco students, Emesha,
hi.
Judy, David,
hi.
And how are you doing?
Fine.
Everything's fine. Great. And could you give me a nice wave back?
Hi. How
Bondo,
are you?
Good, Matija, and George. Fine. And we have a special guest today, Professor Varjas Gábor.
Hi.
And how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. And I'm not going to tell you right now what is he. I'm going to keep it a secret. And Katie, can you read? Can you? Good. Because we are going to have the Hungarian words here and this time, just for a change. I would like you to read them out, will you please? So we are going to have today's words, and you at the back, could you just listen to the words? And they are going to come up pretty soon.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Okay.
Kialitars. Good. Next one.
Sahagyi monari.
Nearly. Sahagyomány útján. But you've tried. The next one.
Tárgyi emlék.
Beautiful. Tárgyi emlék. Next one.
Igen. Yeah.
You give it up. There's some case left.
Yeah.
But here's a short one.
Bardog.
That was excellent. And the last one?
Hullám.
Hullám lemez. Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very, very nice word. Congratulations. You at the back. Have you got any ideas?
Yeah.
Which one, Wanda?
Exhibition.
Exhibition. Wonderful. Yeah. So you know you've got one point. That's it. Exhibition. Great. Right. Now, I've got a couple of objects here, and I want you to have intelligent guesses. I asked my students to find objects which are very, very difficult to recognize. And here is the first one. I'm going to give it to you. Would you just try and think about what it was used for?
Okay.
And this is for you. Emesha, you're not going to say a word.
Okay.
And this is for you. You three. Would you just try and think about what they were used for? Okay, so first, you've got some ideas? Rudy, can I have this?
Sure.
And I want you to talk about this. What do you think it was? Katie, Alex, or Rudy?
Mm-hmm.
A horn.
No idea?
No clue.
Absolutely no idea.
No.
The material?
Plastic.
Okay, so we don't know what it is. Fine, you had no idea. Judy, what about you? Could I hold this?
This one, yeah. Maybe they used to cut some kind of paper with it. I don't know.
Uh-huh, okay. I'm going to give it back to you. And Matyi, it's your turn to shine your English a little.
Sure, you had an idea. Zsilettpenge élező.
Yeah.
What?
Sharpener. Razor sharpener. Okay, so... Yeah, can I have it for a sec? David, what about Marty's guess?
It's right. It's absolutely right. This is a razor blade sharpener from the 1950s. It's an old-fashioned one. It was my grandfather's.
Good. Right. Now here we have another object, and now you're going to learn the truth about this. So, Judy.
I will have to show it.
Okay, fine.
Then
come here, come up.
Okay.
And
this is made of horn, and this is a gadget which is more than 150 years old, and they used to listen to pregnant mothers the heartbeat of the little baby. So they used to just put it here and then listen to it, you know, and they didn't have to touch this, just listen to the heartbeat, and you can hear it. You really can.
Have you tried it?
Not yet, but I will.
Thank you very much. And the third object, Emesha, you owe an explanation.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how old it is, but Judy was right, because they used to cut the edges of a photo like this, and it makes it kind of zigzag, you know, like this. It's like this.
Right. There are going to be three words on the board, and I want you, first, I'm going to ask your opinion about the difference of these words. Archaeology, anthropology, ethnography. What is the difference?
Alex?
No. Okay, archaeology is, we did that last time, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the study of, yeah, ancient civilizations using things that you find. And anthropology is the study of people and societies. And I have no idea what the last one is.
Yes. So, Gábor, could you help us find the difference between these
sure.
words?
Sure. Well, she was right. Archaeology deals with dead cultures and dead civilizations, while anthropology and ethnography, or ethnography, we'll see it in a minute, deals with living cultures, living peoples, living cultures. Now, to understand the difference, you have to know that there is no, there is a difference of opinions, what one and the other word means. Basically, there are synonyms, but if we go back to the etymology of the word, anthropology means anthropos logos, which means, logos means science, and anthropos means human being. While ethnos, graphos, means the description, graphos, the description of ethnos would be a group of people. So it's basically the same thing. And I don't have too much time to go into the delicate differences of meanings
right.
and so
Thank
on.
You very much, Gaben. What are you?
Well, I could be an anthropologist or an ethnographer, both. We call the institute where I work the Ethnographical Institute of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, but if I have to tell it in English, to English people what I do, I say I'm an anthropologist.
Good. So this was the secret. So this is Professor Vargas Gábor, an anthropologist. Right. Now we are traveling to a country, and which country we are traveling to, it's going to be right here. So I would like you to see something and come up with the name of one country. Also, enjoy the background music. Okay? Very interesting music. So shall we have the first bit, please? Very strange music in the background. But what is the continent?
Australia.
What is the country you would say?
Australia.
Rudy, why do you think it's Australia?
Because the music.
Because the music? And what about the object you saw?
What
you didn't recognize the object?
Was it a boomerang?
It was. It was a boomerang. It was a boomerang. And if you see a boomerang, you associate a boomerang with Australia. Now, a very special guest and a fantastic moment, because there is somebody inside the Hungarian television, Andres György, who can play this instrument. György, would you come in, please, and show this instrument? Right while he's coming in, I'm going to show you the name of this instrument, didgeridoo. That's the name, didgeridoo. And I would like to stand right under this and try to make it work. Right, please. Because it needs a lot of breath, right? Thank you very much. Great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. There's one Hungarian who can play this fantastic, fantastic musical instrument. Gábor, boomerang. Everybody associates boomerang with Australia. Is a boomerang just in Australia?
No. Of course, that's the most known example. And just as a surprise, I brought two boomerangs, Australian boomerangs, with me from the Ethnographical Museum's collection here. Now, you have to know that the word comes from Australia. This is from the Georges River, which is Sydney's neighborhood dialect, because there were lots of Aboriginal tribes. And during Captain Cook's first travel to Australia, it was recorded in this dialect. So this is why we call it boomerang, but it could be any other word, because there were a lot of differences between the Australian tribes' dialects. So there are different forms of boomerang. I would pass this on, but be careful. This is 19th century piece, and it's absolutely unique. But during I unpack these things, you have to know that boomerangs were... It's basically throwing stick, a stick which you throw at something.
Sorry. Hajtófa.
Yeah.
Hajtófa. Yes. Sorry.
And as such, it was known Well, I don't want to say that in most of the world, but there were places where it was known. For instance, the most known examples are from old Egypt, from the third millennium before Christ. It was known not only in Australia, but in historic times in New Guinea, in Brazil, amongst the Pueblo Indians in the United States, southwest corner of the United States, in India and so on. So it's an implant which is known all over the world, I would say, even if not very popular. Now, there is one special type of boomerang which is known only in Australia, which is the returning boomerang, and that one is probably a returning one, but we never dared to try it.
So here is the continent, and we are going to travel to Adelaide, which is right here. Adelaide, thank you. Yes, here we go. So we are going to travel to Adelaide, and there's going to be a fantastic exhibition. But first, we are going to have a look at the museum, the outside of the museum, right? And this is it. So we are going to go inside. This is South Australian Museum in Adelaide. Have you been there, by the way?
No.
No.
I know all the other great Australian cities, but not Adelaide.
Not Adelaide. Okay. So we are in the outside, and now we are going to go in. Rudy and Katie and Alex, how do technology and old culture meet in the museum? That's your task. My first question, meet Francesca Cubillo, curator of the museum. Where is she standing? Okay. Shall we have the first, please? Right.
It's a case of technology meeting one of the world's oldest cultures. Traditions that have been passed down through thousands of years by word of mouth are now being passed on via CD-ROM. The new museum is a joint venture between the government and private enterprise.
We're on the ground floor of our Aboriginal Cultures Gallery. We're here because this is the first day that we're opening with our new exhibition.
Right. So, technology and ancient culture. Katie?
Well, they're using CD-ROMs and interactive material to bring the old and incorporate it with the new in the museums.
And in the good old days, traditions were passed down by word of mouth at the back, by word of mouth. But now they have CD-ROMs, right? And where was this woman standing?
On the ground floor.
Judy, please.
On the ground floor, where they were opening a new exhibition.
And what's the name of that specific new exhibition?
Aboriginal. I don't know what.
Yes, we are going to see it here. Can you make it out? Emesha, would you read it out, please?
Australian Aboriginal Cultures Gallery.
Say it again.
Australian Aboriginal Cultures Gallery.
Fine. Gabor, I've got two words here. Aboriginal people, that's one, and native people. Sometimes we say that native Indians, you have heard it, right? Native Indians. And sometimes we say Aboriginal people. So what's the difference?
Well, basically they are synonyms. Both mean autochthonous people who were the original people, the original inhabitants of this piece of land. And for Australia, we use, I think this is by sheer chance, we use the word aboriginal, which means ab origine, which means from the olden times, from the origin of the word. So they are the first inhabitants of Australia before the white people in the 18th century came to Australia. That's but it could be anything else. It could be autochthonous, or it could be native, or whatever.
Right.
For other parts of the world, we use more native.
Native, but
and
in Australia,
we use
Aboriginal
people. Yeah.
Yes, I've got another card here, artifact, an old tool, an old weapon that was made a couple of decades ago, which has some historical revelation, something to do with our present time. Okay, that's an artifact. And the question is for you, what do we learn about the museum's Aboriginal artifacts? And for you, you're going to meet another curator, Philip Clark. He's going to talk about a boomerang. What is so special about it, and what does it prove? So let's have the next bit.
Adelaide lies on the fringe of the vast inland deserts of central and western Australia, and the museum has been collecting Aboriginal artefacts from the area for almost 150 years. More than 3,000 artefacts are on display, including some ancient examples of Aboriginal technology.
Within the South Australian Museum, we have the world's oldest boomerang, which came out of a peat bog in the southeast of South Australia. And archaeologists have estimated that it's about 10,000 years old. So it does show that Aboriginal people had a fairly sophisticated toolkit at least 10,000 years ago.
Right. So, artifacts in the museum. What have you learned about it, Alex?
There are 3,000 of them.
And how long have they been collecting? Could you?
No, I didn't hear.
You didn't hear that? Anybody? More than 150 years. And they have more than 3,000 artifacts in the museum. And your question was the boomerang. Who would like to answer this question? Judy, please.
This is the oldest one in the world. And it proves that Aboriginal people had a very special and sophisticated toolkit over 10,000 years ago.
Now, you are going to watch a couple of hat pieces. And it's going to be a competition among all of you. Because under the masks, under the hat pieces, you can see pieces of writing. So they actually say what they are. And there are going to be 8 of them. How many of them you can remember, you can memorize. Right. So let's have, and again, some special music in the background. Wanda?
Double. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise, sorry. Mighty?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Five.
Or
maybe four.
Okay, David. David, try. Okay, say them.
Pig, double, cross, turtle, and
face.
Yeah.
Okay. You missed out wheel, square. So we have devil, pig, grass, turtle, cross, wheel, face, and square. Okay? Now, the last bit is going to come. My Fataka students, would you try and understand everything about Mr. Norman Tyndale? And your job, why are the masks so special? Okay? So could we have the last bit, please?
Norman Tyndale, a famous Australian anthropologist, played a key role in building much of today's display. When he died in 1993, he bequeathed much of his own collection to the museum.
One of our special exhibits, the Pilbara Tin Masks, were collected by Norman Tyndale in 1953. We have 32 in our collection and approximately 22 of them are on display. And these are really special because they're made out of kerosene tin and flattened bits of corrugated iron. They are cut in the shape of what would have initially been the more traditional style headpieces and masks from the region.
Right, so Norman Tyndale.
Emma,
please.
He was a famous Australian anthropologist who died in 1993, and maybe he passed down a lot of valuable objects in the museum.
Yeah, when somebody, well, you can say passed down from one generation to the other, but when it's a person, you say he bequeathed much of the collection to the museum. Bequeathed. Right. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much, Emesha. What's so special about these masks, Katie?
Well, some of them are made of kerosene tin and corrugated iron, and also they've been reshaped from their original form, so they cut it out especially from the way it was originally made in the wood.
So. Fantastic. So the material is tin, Mr. Norman Tyndale, how interesting, and we have corrugated iron and tin. So you have the last two words, by the way. And they are modern materials, whereas the symbols are ancient. And let me turn to you. So what do you think about these objects, these masks, having modern material and referring to ancient times?
Well, they are, as the curator said, they are absolutely unique pieces because Australian Aborigines generally don't use masks, very rare, and they are much rather headpieces, as they said. Now, what are they, in fact? To understand this, I have to, if I have 1 minute, I have to elaborate a little bit on the religion of the Australian Aborigines. Well, according to their conception and to the mythology of these people, there was a time before human people lived on the earth, and this is the time, what they call with an Aboriginal word, dream time. And during this dream time, there were heroes, ancestral heroes and ancestral beings who lived in the world just like you, human beings now. But these people, they were partly human and partly animal. And so the mythology tells us all the stories about them. This is not creation so much because the land was like it is today, but it's a little bit unshaped, unformed. And they traveled all around this land, and they hunted, they made a fireplace, they camped somewhere. And during this activity, the whole world was transformed into what we know now. And then at the end of their activity, they simply withdrew themselves and changed into pieces of rock, of trees or whatever, what is now the natural landscape. And everything which is their trace, bears their trace. Now, during the ceremonies, during the religious ceremonies, these people masked themselves into these ancestral beings. So if in the mythical story there was a story about a pig or a, I don't know, an ant or whatever, which was the ancestral being, partly human, partly animal, then they put on these headpieces, which they called pig or ant or what, I don't remember what type of words were here, grass or whatever, and they played the role of these ancestral beings, bringing back those times which were pre-human times. And so what we see here is masks, or much better headpieces, because mask is what covers, in fact, the face of the people.
Well, I've got a couple of masks, by the way. So here we go, if you want to try it on. This is a typical mask, and I've got another one, and the third one would like to try the mask. It's yours. Alex?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, listen, the essential is that when you put on these masks, you embody these spiritual beings, which are superhuman, supernatural beings, and you become somebody else. You are not anymore Katie or Victor or Gabor, but you are that special supernatural.
Katie, will you put it on, please? Let me have a look at you. Right, it's not Australian, definitely. I think it's a kind of Bushel mask. Yeah. Would you put it on, please?
Yeah.
Right, look at Emesha, please. Right, and now Emesha's turn. Fantastic. Why is Australia so unique as far as anthropology is concerned?
Well, for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that this is the only continent where during the, let's say, 18th century, when Australia's Aboriginal cultures were discovered by white people, this was the only continent which was living in what we call the Stone Age, technologically speaking. But we have to know, we have seen the example that even by this relatively simple Stone Age technology, they had very sophisticated objects like the returning boomerang. But still, this is what we call the living Stone Age, and this is why there was so much important for anthropology.
Thank you very much, Gabor, and I'm holding Stone this boomerang. No, I'm not going to throw it. But again, let's come back to the words, what you have learned today. Katie, it's your turn again. Good.
It's an exhibition. I understand.
Yeah. Exhibition. The next one?
By word of mouth.
Utyan.
Sai hajomai. Utyan. Mati, have you got it?
By word of mouth.
Good.
Tarki emlek.
Good.
Artifact.
Everybody, please. Artifact.
Artifact.
Good.
Sersmek.
Sersamkesler. Two kids. Okay, we have two more.
Badog.
Okay.
Din.
And the very last one.
Hulam
Lemon.
Corrugated iron.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming. See you next week.
Thanks a lot.
Bye bye.
Egy rejtély.
Elárulja a titkot.
Amelynek sokan erednek a nyomába.
Közel járunk ahhoz, hogy megfejtsem a templomosok titkát.
Vannak, akik becsületesen játszanak.
Most már biztos, hogy új szövetségesekre lesz szüksége.
És vannak, akik semmitől sem riadnak vissza.
Mi a felét csinál az a nő? Az a dolga, hogy elcsábítsa Morent, semmi több.
A templomos lovagok kincse. Ifjúsági sorozat szombat délután az M2-n.
Ez a szentül megfogadom, hogy bosszút állok a bakterházon.
Szeretni a kikömmöltjön!
Írbe hoznád a bakterházat.
Rideg Sándor írásából.
És aztán válsz az akasztani való rántos bocska!
Indul a bakterház. Kaumann Péter. Pécsi Ildikó. Koltai Róbert. Szombaton este az M2-n.
Amíg én itt a Dunába fürödtem, ellopták az autómat ruhástól egyik.
Egyszerre jön egy csinos pesti fiú, és elgázolja az embert.
Megszokott hazudul, mert azt tetszett ígérni, hogy el tetszik venni.
Én Dr. Balázs Sándort keresem.
Én vagyok.
Úgy látszik, kleptomániája van.
Én azt az embert elő fogom magának teremteni.
Sándor, Sándor, ezt nem hittem volna rólad.
Mit csinált magam?
Nem voltam a kuglopér.
Hogy mert ezt a lányt itt tartani éjszakára?
Maga tegezi a gazdáját?
Mindig, hogyha nincs jelen.
Köszönöm, hogy elgázolt. Vasárnap délután az M2-n.